Hey, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the SCB Steelers podcast presented by Deck Roofing Incorporated of South Florida. And I'd like to wish everyone a very, very happy new league year. The 2023 NFL year has officially started, and I'm already sick and tired of Aaron Rodgers.
But why?
Scarps, your tweet today was so spot on. I love Big Ben, but I'm no stranger to the fact that drama would often find the guy, whether he created it or not. But the bottom line is Rodgers has just taken it way too far.
He's taken it to a new level, man.
Just unreal.
He just needed to establish a new standard, and he took the challenge and ran with it.
Absolutely.
I got to give him props.
Yeah, he is
mad respect.
Yeah, yeah. And Burner already jumping on to send his warmest regards now that the Steelers HVAC man is no longer with us.
I mean, somebody's got to fix the building now.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into all that. My actual very first question tonight is about the biggest name, and Scarps, I'm going to give this one to you. What is the problem? Why has no one signed Mason Rudolph?
I mean,
because he sucks.
I'm sorry. I had to throw that out. I just had to go there.
There are a number of guys on Twitter, Steelers Twitter, that are holding out. They're like, yeah, he's going to be a star. You wait and see.
He's just,
you're wrong about him. Oh, yeah, shut the fuck up. He sucks.
Well,
what I appreciate is that, you know, he's very tactical. He's very smart. He's just waiting for the right opportunity. So.
Oh,
right. Yeah. As I would hope that he is. But wow, what a first few days of free agency. I miss the old days, quite frankly, when the Steelers would just wait about a week and then actually sign somebody.
There were people who literally thought that Mason would get a contract as a starter this offseason.
Yes, people thought that.
The delusion just, it never ends. I don't, you know, and we can say we have different opinions, blah, blah, blah. You watch the guy for fucking 5 years. How do you not know he's not a starter? The rest of the NFL does, just so you know. And I'll end rant.
Yeah, and that's really all that needs to be said. I wish him well. I do. I don't know where he's going to end up. He's going to sign somewhere, and I hope that he gets the opportunity that he's longed for. And best wishes to him. You know,
I think that he is going to have a long career. Seriously, I'm not being facetious. As a journeyman backup type quarterback, and you know, good for him. That's a great. Great career. You're lucky as hell just to be a pro athlete, much less have played 10 years in the NFL.
Well, you know, and you can make a nice living too.
Yeah. He'll probably make, you know, $40, $50 million before all is said and done.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a guy you should be crying for.
Hey, Chase Daniels had a pretty good life.
Oh my God.
He did. Fuck yeah, he did.
That dude has made unbelievable amounts of money and has appeared in a handful of games, meaningful games. I don't even know if I'd say that, but you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's been really busy. You know, it's the trackers, and obviously, if you follow the top NFL talking heads, they tweet and post at a amazing cheetah's pace, if you will, because things are happening so quickly. So what I thought we would do tonight is we'll start, and it's going to be hard to talk guys without bringing in other guys as well, and I understand that, but we'll try to keep it as exclusive to the players as possible. But
you're gonna talk about the epic mullet on Cole Holcomb.
Oh, we're getting to that. Our boy Bensberg is all in on Cole Holcomb. In fact, Bensberg, I think, has already ordered himself a jersey, because of the hair. And I'd like to welcome in Ian. Who I believe is at a Pennsylvania university right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Penn State U?
I am at a Pennsylvania university at a conference for work. So we are tuning in from a hotel room tonight. So on the
road. I like you're, how Ian
you're sitting on your bed.
Well,
wow. He's a fucking pro, man. Leave him alone.
Total pro. No. It wasn't criticism. I'm just I'm impressed.
I just like how he
I was just busting your balls.
Some Steelers associated gear for the
I've
podcast.
I've got my SCB look at this shirt guy. On. Look, I got Scarps' face right here. I got Mark's face over here. Yeah. Fuck. I've got like pillows behind my back. I'm more comfortable.
Don't
than
be
all
showing
you
that
assholes.
At Penn State.
No, it's all good
for good reasons.
But
I've got a bottle of Tullamore Dew that I brought with me.
You really? Wow! Now that is preparation right there.
I came prepared for this podcast.
This is a guy that has done a podcast remotely before. let's just start with the first name that went off the board here in Cam Sutton. I guess number one, Ben, what were you surprised by in terms of Cam Sutton?
I'm more surprised than anything else that it didn't seem like there was an effort made to match. Now we don't know. I'm going to put this out there. We don't know if Sutton wanted to come back. We don't know. He may have wanted to go someplace else and you know have his abilities showcased a little more than the way he was being used in Pittsburgh. He may not like Terrell Austin's coverage schemes. I don't like them a lot of the time. It's basically another version of the Dick LeBeau tackle the catch thing. You know, it's always. It's either man or off man,
right?
You know, zone man, man zone. Should man they zone. Do? I'm just like, oh God, you guys drive me fucking nuts. Yeah. So you know, maybe he doesn't like that, and maybe he just wanted to get out. So I can't say for certain what the deal is. I will say replacing him with Patrick Peterson. You know, the guy's going to go into his year 33 season.
You almost said 80s, didn't you?
80? No.
It sounded like that's where he was going.
Oh, sorry.
Don't steal Casey's thunder already.
All right, sorry.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, he, you know, they signed him to a two-year deal. You know, so he's entering the twilight of his career. Mm-hmm. Yes, he was more affordable than a Cam Sutton.
Yeah.
And he, you know, the guy's going to provide leadership. He's been around for a while. He'll be able to bring along younger players. Mm-hmm. And if they draft two corners in this draft, which is it's a very, very good cornerback class. If they draft two corners, then this was a good move. Okay. Because he can provide that leadership to those guys. He can bring them along and start out, begin as a starter this season and then fade and become, you know, a backup and a leadership, a leader in the locker room kind of a deal, you know? And that's fine if they do that, but we don't know what they're going to do yet as far as the draft goes. And if they replaced a guy in Cam Sutton, who was a guy who's really in his prime and has position flexibility with an older player, who's an outside corner only, then not a great signing. I don't think it's a good swap. That's me. I mean, people, again, there are some people that think the Steelers can do no wrong.
Right.
Well, yeah. I'm not a gloom and doom guy by any means, but you know, there should be some criticism thrown at this. It's not a deal where they got better.
Okay. All right. And Scarps, you were pretty critical. Bringing in.
But Scarps is a hater, and so I was trying to lay the groundwork so that people wouldn't think he was a hater, and then you had to say he was pretty critical. What the fuck?
Well, relatively speaking, I guess, but you know, you weren't crazy, Ryan, at the very least, about bringing on a guy that's going to be 33 years old.
The Naj pick and Kenny Pickett being picked. I don't hate the player. I hate the pick. And in this case, I don't hate Patrick Peterson. I don't necessarily dislike the signing. I just don't like getting older at that position. And obviously if they draft two cornerbacks, Basic math, the average age is going to go down. So, but I look at that and say, okay. And then the Sutton contract came out and you're just like, are you serious? Like that's the other thing too. Did they not want to pay him, or did he just say, listen, I appreciate it, man. But you know what? I'm going to go somewhere else, because God forbid somebody that played for the Steelers would want to go somewhere else. And I think that's like one thing fans need to accept, that like,
especially Detroit.
And yeah, that part's kind of surprised me. Now, if he'd gone to Minnesota, I would have been like, well,
yeah,
Brian
Flores.
You know,
okay. But what does that tell? So bitter Steelers fans are we just went for the money. I look at it, it's like, you know what? Maybe he looked at that and said, man, I like Dan Campbell. I think the offense is good. I think the defense is young. I can be a leader on that defense, whereas I'm always going to be in TJ's shadow or Minka's shadow or Cam Hayward's shadow. So, you know,
Detroit is incredibly young. I mean, he literally does walk into as a leadership position there. He really does.
And black and yellow Texas Steel, 11 a year is pretty pricey for a CB2. Well, Ben, I'll let you get back to that. But I just want to say, somebody's got to fucking play cornerback. Like, what are we doing? And that's the whole thing that upset. Like, so we have to assume now that Terrell Edmunds is not coming back because of the other signings we had.
And we'll get to it.
And Big Ben's burner, by the way, congratulations on the birth of your son. Beautiful baby boy. That's awesome, man. And I do agree with you. Jared Goff is better than Pickett, but you know, whatever. But I just I don't understand why you draft and develop a guy, and honestly, he's one of the better defensive backs they've drafted in a long time. So they draft him, they develop him, and then can't pay $11 million a year for that, but we're gonna pay a guy that probably wasn't even gonna get a job until training camp. That's what stealing Casey's thunder a little bit, but like I don't think anybody was knocking on the door to get Patrick Peterson at 33 years old. And by the way, last thing,
for what,
let me go.
Million?
10 Steelers defensive backs have started at least one game over the age of 33 in history. 10.
Wow.
And Patrick Peterson is going to be the 11th.
And so there have been some guys who have continued to have good careers at this age. And I think Peterson can be productive. He's got something left in the tank. But he's not getting better. Okay.
No, he is who he is.
Yeah, no, I mean, he peaked a long time ago, and he's on the downward slope. And people need to realize that when they're taking a look at this.
What are you talking about? He's still an all-pro.
Yeah, okay. And as far as 11 a year, 11 a year makes him the 16th highest-paid corner in the league. It's not a lot of money. The Steelers could have matched that easily if they decided they wanted to.
So, Ian, why do you
think – I don't know if they had a choice. Maybe they didn't.
Right. Give me your thoughts, first of all, Ian, when you heard Sutton gone, Peterson in.
So my first thought on Sutton, to kind of echo what Ben said, was that I don't know if the Steelers ever got the opportunity to match the deal, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of assumption out there on Twitter that, oh, the Steelers couldn't have matched this contract. Why didn't they match it? Well, we don't know. I mean, he may have gotten the offer and said, yeah, I'll take that, and never called up the Steelers. I mean, we know under Kevin Colbert that a lot of times the Steelers would say, hey, go out, test free agency, tell us what you get. If we're willing to match it, we'll match it. And if not, then best of luck to you. We don't know if Omar operates the same way. We don't know if he even called the Steelers. And even if Omar does operate the same way, we don't know if he even called the Steelers back and said, hey, here's the offer I have. Are you willing to match it?
Right.
His offer has 2 void years on it too. Let's not forget that. He gets another crack at free agency while he's still, you know, in that, like, I'll say under 32 age bracket, right? Because he's 27 right now. So he'd be 30 when his 3-year contract expires. Right. So I don't know. And, you know, Kevin, other than the COVID-influenced cap year, Kevin never did void years. I don't know how Omar's policy on void years is going to be. There's a lot of information we don't know, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
Peterson, I don't love it. I don't hate it. I think it's fine. I've always said, and Ben has been lockstep with me on this, so thanks, Ben, that 2-year contracts are essentially 1-year deals with a team option for the second year.
100%.
And that's basically how Peterson's contract looks. It's, you know, he gets, what is it, $5.8 million signing bonus, and then, you know, probably $1 million plus in base salary the first year. So his second year salary is $7 million. So second year, we either keep him on at like a $10 million cap hit, or we cut him in the two and change, two and a half, like 2.75 so probably in dead
he's
money.
Got- so, he's got a $3 million roster bonus due 2 days after the league year starts next year.
Okay. So, but still,
I mean, basically, yeah, it's about half. It's about 50-50. Mm-hmm. They gave him.
So basically the Steelers have to make a decision whether or not they're going to keep Patrick Peterson right. 2 days into the next year's league.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't hate it. Right. Peterson was actually more productive than Sutton was last year. When I looked at the stats, the raw stats side by side, which I was kind of surprised by, where Sutton was better was in like passer rating and some of those.
Mm-hmm.
They're not advanced stats, but you know, passer rating when
the basics.
Like the basics, though, like tackles, pass breakups, interceptions, Peterson was better in all the basics. So I don't hate it. And the other thing that we've talked about a lot on this show is there's a significant number of positions on this team that need veteran leadership. Wide receivers, one. If, like Ben talked about, if they draft multiple corners or if they bring in more young guys at corner, defensive back on the whole is another. Like, you know, Minka is kind of the seasoned vet of the group, and he's only like, what, 25, 26 years old?
Right.
So, you know, they needed a veteran leader in the defensive backfield. So, from a
and this team needs leadership anyway. Let's be honest. This team needs more leaders. I mean that's one of the things we'll get to Holcomb, I know, but that's one of the reasons they signed him, in my opinion.
Yeah. From that intangible standpoint of you can't measure leadership, I like the signing of guys that can be veteran leaders.
Agreed.
I mean, they didn't commit themselves to something long term. It's a 2 year deal, which is basically a 1 year deal with a team option for the second year. So I don't hate it, but it's not something that it's not like they went out and like, oh, the Eagles cut Darius Slay. We signed Darius Slay. Like that would be an incredible deal.
Yeah. Right.
But it's not like they signed Darius Slay. It's like they signed a 32-year-old Patrick Peterson. So it's
there's something to Ryan's point too that irritates me that, you know, Sutton was a guy that they drafted, they developed. And he left for what was a manageable number. And again, as we've reiterated many times on this program, just tonight, as a matter of fact, we don't know if his people called the Steelers and even gave him a chance.
Right.
But it is frustrating to me that we finally get a decent guy that we draft, we develop him, and off he goes. But I also understand that's the NFL.
It's a business at the end of the day. It is.
Yep.
You know, one last thing about.
Oh my God!
No way! Did they?
Breaking news here from Big Ben's burner. The
Big Ben's burner is lying to me right now.
Just got Orlando Brown.
It's from Adam Schefter.
We're all checking.
We're all checking.
Yeah, with three F's.
Orlando Brown. It's true.
Makes it that much better when we beat him.
Fuck. So 4 years, $64 million.
So what's funny is I did see on Steelers Twitter that Steelers Nation was you know poking fun at the Bengals and they lost Jesse Bates, they lost Vaughn Bell. Which I agree. Yeah,
those are losses, right, man. Those are.
But every team loses guys, and then they get Zeus Brown. But one, just two quick points.
Sure.
Sutton and Watt were drafted in 2017. Shit.
They gave him $31 million to sign.
And then
Mike Brown?
That's what I'm saying.
Mike Brown? What the fuck
is that? Maybe these are different.
New Bengals, baby.
And
wow.
Sutton and Watt were drafted in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So Sutton's gone. So Watt, Boswell, and Cam Hayward are the only three guys. That's the longest tenured Steelers right now. Okay. So if you want to talk veteran leadership, and that's fine. You already had a guy in Sutton that was a veteran leader, and he's younger than Peterson. And I get it. Patrick Peterson is an all pro. He's a pro bowler. Borderline Hall of Fame now. I don't know if he's a surefire Hall of Famer. I don't know that, but he's definitely one of the best corners of all time.
Yeah.
I just want to say this, though. All offseason, the chatter was, what is Omar going to do? What's his first move going to be, right? And his first move, or whatever you want to call it, he signs a 32-year-old corner that you know that don't Steelers Nation, let's be real. We're thinking of all the plays he used to make. And I know he was okay last year, but Minnesota's defense was no slouch.
He was pretty good last year. Yeah.
Okay, fine. But my point being is he's going to be 33 when the season starts. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you this. Kevin Colbert never signed a street free agent defender over 30 years old. So if you want to talk about is Kevin or is Omar going to be like Kevin, we're definitely not right now.
I think it's a
Mike Tomlin move?
Yeah, that's my feeling. Tomlin's really excited about it.
Always love Patrick Peterson. Yep. So does Mike T have a little bit more control now? And then it's kind of like, shit. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think that has something to do with it, but I think it's also very similar in as much as when Kevin was running the personnel department, and he is the GM, was a GM. They never really made any big splashy signings. That just isn't what they do.
No,
you know, and there haven't been any thus far yet. And in that way, it is very similar. I don't know what kind of money Cole Holcomb got, but I'll bet it was more than $8 million a year.
Yeah, they haven't released the financials on that one yet. And I did see one of the insiders said the speculation is that the Steelers are reworking somebody else and then they're going to announce Holcomb's deal once that's done.
Well, they're supposed to be introducing all of those free agents tomorrow.
Right, which tells me that it better damn well be done tomorrow.
One last thing about that. They could have locked them up last year and they didn't.
True. Who's that?
Mm-hmm. Sutton.
True. Sutton?
Yes.
Yeah, they should have.
Yeah, and you wonder if that's not something they're not second guessing. Ian, I know you're very disappointed to know that Pittsburgh's finest HVAC person is now out in Las Vegas, where he will no doubt be working on cooling systems because I don't know that they need a lot of heat out there. Robert Spillane is gone.
Those desert nights are cold, though.
That's very true. It's an excellent point. Spillane's gone. And, you know, Jen, who's on our, joins the show a lot, you know, she pointed out that he's apparently engaged to a school teacher in Pittsburgh. And I thought that made it even more likely that he'd be back. But apparently she better start looking for jobs out in Vegas because that's where he's headed. And what did you make of that?
So, I mean, if we're looking at this as, you know, Cole Holcomb in exchange for Robert Spillane. Mm-hmm. I saw people on Twitter today saying that, you know, Holcomb is just the same guy as Spillane, which he's much more athletic.
Yep.
Like, all right. So I know I'm kind of the nerd on the show, but for those watching that aren't familiar with what RAS is, it's relative athletic score, which is basically, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you compare to everyone else at your position basically since like 2000, right? From an athletic standpoint.
And just to, it factors in height, weight, and then all the agility stuff, speed stuff.
Yeah. Okay. All that stuff. So basically a 10 out of 10 means you are in the 100th percentile, that you are one of the most athletic guys to ever play at your position. So think like Calvin Johnson at wide receiver, right? Robert Spillane was a 1.9. So he was one of the least athletic linebackers to ever come out.
I could get a 1.9.
Yeah.
I doubt that.
Cole Holcomb was a 9.6. Yeah. So he is in that, like, you know, upper echelon of basically 96th percentile for athleticism for off-ball linebackers.
But
he had a great, you know, speed score. He had a great agility score. His shuttle and cone times were wonderful coming out of North Carolina in 2018. Where he came up short actually was on his height and weight and size. So
yeah, he's the same size, exactly the same size as Spillane was.
Shorter arms, I think, too.
2 pounds heavier.
Yeah, so he's basically the same size, but much more athletic from a agility, change of direction, speed standpoint.
And it pops on tape. When you watch him, you immediately see him doing things that Spillane never could do.
Yeah, and there was a lot of times we talked about, too, one of the values of Robert Spillane was his ability to think the game. He could see and think where the ball was
smart
going.
Player. Exactly.
But he didn't have
he was an overachiever.
He didn't have the speed to get there.
Perfect word to describe Spillane.
Yeah.
And it ain't his fault that everybody in front of him sucked.
Spillane had it between the ears. It was everything the shoulders, as Tomlin says, it's everything below the shoulders that kind of let him down. Now, the question with Holcomb is, does he have it between the ears, right? Mm-hmm. We know he's got it below the shoulders. He's got the athleticism to play the position. Is he smart enough and experienced enough and just talented enough to read and react and play the game with the flow that he needs to?
You know, I would hope that he's Bobby Boucher, but I don't think he is.
I would take even half of Bobby Boucher.
Two burners point.
Or half of Bobby Wagner.
This guy, he's a more athletic
Bobby
Spillane.
Yeah.
He's a more athletic Bobby Spillane. He's still a liability in coverage. He's not a stack and shed guy either, and Spillane was.
No, that is
he is
absolutely
not a stack
true.
And shed guy.
Watch the film, you'll see it.
He's a linebacker you got to keep clean. And, you know, it's not – yes, we got a couple of big defensive tackles up there. We got some guys that are coming along DeMarcus Leal and
– DeMarvin.
DeMarvin.
DeMarvin. I've had Leal. More drinks than you, and I knew that.
Did you? I mispronounced his name again. That's okay. I'll call Ulysses Grant. Out again at some point. speaking of linebackers who were who underachieved and underwhelmed.
Is Tuzar Skipper still on the team?
I think he probably is going to be back on for camp, right? You know, it seems like he is every single year, and then he gets cut and somebody signs him.
Right.
And then he gets cut by that team at the end of the year, and then he comes back to Pittsburgh for camp. It seems like every year, right?
This is his time.
The guy must be a pretty decent special teams player. That's the only thing that can be keeping him in the league this long. He's got to be pretty decent at that. Anyway, Cole Holcomb's nothing to get super excited about, but he is going to be fun on first and second down.
Yeah.
That guy penetrates and tackles the way Vince Williams used to. Only faster.
Yes. That's a very good comparison. I like it.
So, and he's violent when he tackles. He is a violent hitter.
And he creates turnovers.
Yes.
And that's not saying much because our linebackers didn't create a single one last year.
There's a highlight of him playing against Dallas last year where he ran through Ezekiel Elliott and got a sack on Dak.
Yeah.
Ran through Ezekiel Elliott straight through him.
Free agent.
Yes, who's now a free agent?
That's right.
Skipper's in the XFL. Probably because he wants to play, George. I mean, wouldn't you want to play?
I hope he is. I hope he does well. Yeah.
He's not doing it for the money.
Love of the game.
Hey, those guys
baby.
Are, you know, they're making decent money.
Before we move on here, let me just remind everybody that we are part of the Pigskin Podcast Network and very, very happy to be associated with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code TPPN. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly, win or lose, only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code TPPN. Okay, moving on. Nate Herbig. I don't think anybody saw this one coming. Nate Herbig played his college ball at Stanford. He has spent time with the New York Football Jets and the Philadelphia Eagles, and he is now a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He signs a 2-year deal. I believe it was $8 million, if I saw that correctly.
$4 million per year.
And according to people I've talked to, that they seem to think he's the odds-on favorite to start, which means Kevin Dotson is not. Scarps, your thoughts on this particular situation?
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about Larry O here shortly, I mean, I love this signing. Has familiarity with Andy Weidel. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's an encouraging sign because Andy is essentially the football guy in the player, the main football guy in the player personnel department. I agree. I think he's an upgrade over Dotson, and I haven't seen him even suit up in the black and gold. But
right,
you know, I was trying to like when the signing happened, I was trying to think of like try to compare it to something, and you know, I don't want to say he's better than or he's worse than or these players were better than or worse than, but
right.
It's just a good veteran signing, like. Maybe like somebody like a Cody Wallace, who could
it's a good analogy could, or a good you know, comparison, yeah.
Who could fill in, and then you know Cody Wallace started a whole season in place of Marquise Pouncey in 2015, and we went to the playoffs, and like Cody did pretty well, but like this dude's big nasty, right? Like I mean shit, like if he was big softy, I'd be like I don't know, whatever. I'm serious.
No, like, I know.
Like that, and that's what I'm saying. Like if that's he's nasty. He's only been in the league for 3 or 4 years. He's young. Like and that's the one thing like that I think this team has missed, especially on offense over mm-hmm. the past couple seasons, is that tenacity. You know, when you lose guys like Foster, Pouncey, DeCastro, Gilbert, Villanueva, like those dudes would beat your ass, like every single one of them, and then in groups too, like they were all for, like they like you know they were one for all and all for one, like they beat you solo but as a group. So anyway, I'm a huge fan of the signing and however I think back to drafting Kevin Dotson, drafting Kendrick Green, and I'm just kind of like, you know, those are some lapses in judgment.
The good news on that front is I would say that Mr. Clem is now in New England, with a pit stop at the University of Oregon. So, you know, maybe he had something to do with it. I know he did with Kendrick Green.
They will trade for Kendrick Green. You know, maybe they'll give us a third round pick for him. That'd be sweet.
Him and Juju.
I would be happy if they gave us a seventh round pick for
I'd
him.
Be happy if you
literally anything in return.
Tequila or something.
A bottle of tequila.
I mean, that guy didn't even get a helmet last year.
Because he sucks.
Third round pick, and he goes straight to Helmetville. Helmetlessville.
Yeah. I think Dotson will still be on the team next year, but I agree that Herbig will be the starter. Yeah. But it's at least competition for Dotson, right?
That's exactly what I thought when they signed a mid-level free agent mm-hmm. who is a good run blocker, but not a great pass blocker. And they signed him specifically to give Kevin Dotson competition.
Yeah.
Okay. And the $4 million a year range is basically the going rate for like a top level backup
right.
offensive lineman right mm-hmm. now. Like that was basically what we were paying like John Legault and some of those guys.
Yeah. Sure. And the Steelers seem to be paying an awful lot of attention to interior offensive linemen in the draft, especially interior offensive linemen that are center capable.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which kind of makes you wonder what's going to happen and how it's all going to shake out. But
I'm just going to say it now. I don't think they're going tackle in the draft.
I don't think they are either.
I think they're going interior.
I think they
if anything.
Should, but yep. I don't think they're going to.
I just get that feeling. I know.
They see Dan Moore as a young guy who's ascending yep. and who's going to get better. And
same with Chooks, who's very young yet.
Yeah.
I didn't
realize Chooks was 25. I think maybe we've been a little hard on him. I didn't realize he was so young when he came out.
He was a young dude.
Yeah. Because he got overpaid.
I mean, a little, but that's the rate now for right tackles.
And that's cool. But would you? So I would say this.
That and the way they structured that, Ryan, they could walk away from that deal whenever they want.
Listen, I mean, sometimes I'm a dick on the show, but I would rather
on the show.
Often. Yeah, that's true. I would
love you, Ryan.
No, we're good. I know. I love you all too. I, okay. So if Kevin Dotson is the backup or the depth piece, Yeah. So you got Dotson, Hassan Saucer, and then and then Dan Moore Jr. is the backup, and we get a better left tackle. I can live with that.
I agree.
I would love it. My gut feeling right now is that's not going to happen. I think they're going to go like defensive line and corner. I think that's what those first two picks are likely going to be. That's just,
I think it's going to be corner.
Yeah.
I think it's straight up going to be a corner, and it might be a corner in the second pick too. It would not shock me. This is such a good class.
Yep. Very deep.
A good class.
It's deep, man.
That I wouldn't sleep on the linebacker from Clemson with one of our second round picks.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't either.
32 or 49. One of those two picks, I think. Like, I wouldn't take him at 17.
No.
But the kid's got skills, and in the second round, I think there's some value.
Tomlin was there yesterday at Clemson.
Yeah.
He was at Georgia today. And,
you know, hey, just to clarify something, the whole Dotson, and I'm just, this is just my opinion. I don't know. I didn't talk to either one of these guys, obviously, about what happened on that play. But there was obviously miscommunication on that play where Pickett got that concussion and got hit so hard and nobody blocked the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was supposed to be Kevin Dotson's man. Honestly, I'm still not sure. There was some talk like they both said, yeah, I was supposed to block that guy.
Right. And the offensive linemen are almost trained to take the blame for things. You know, when the quarterback gets hurt, it's just kind of an ingrained thing in them. And, you know, and that's the frustrating part. These people that were making threats to Kevin Dotson.
That's fucking ridiculous.
Do they even understand how offensive line play works?
There's no way in hell he did that on purpose. That's ridiculous. I mean, come on.
Get a fucking life, man. Like, serious. Like, right? Come on, man.
Exactly.
Like, oh my God. Like I that shit frustrates me.
Yeah.
Man. Like, there's there is no reason whatsoever to ever do that. And then it happens in every sport. It happens in every team. And it's just like, come on, like fucking hell.
The one thing I will add to this offensive line conversation is I said after the season ended that I felt comfortable with where the right side of the line was, but I felt like they needed to rebuild the left side of the line, which was Moore and Dotson. And some of it, what I saw was communication issues that those two could not handle stunts all season. If you ran a stunt on that side, like they could not communicate with each other. And they started the whole year next to each other. So I don't know what it was. So, you know, whoever they feel like needs to be replaced, like I said, rebuild that whole side of the line. So I am totally fine with bringing in another guard to compete with Dotson.
Kevin Dotson's a really young player. Whose natural position is right guard. Unfortunately, James Daniels' position, natural position, is also right guard. So they they played the better player at right guard. Yeah. I tend to believe that if things don't work out for Dotson in Pittsburgh, he's going to get signed by another team, be moved to the right side, and be successful. And the Steelers fans are going to bitch loud and hard about that.
He's young. Does he also need to learn how to play hurt too?
I don't know, man. Did you see the cavalcade of fucking injuries he had last year? It was ridiculous.
Yeah. And I'm not,
I was like, how the fuck is this guy still practicing? Why does he take a week off?
Well, and I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not questioning his toughness or anything. I
thought that it would have benefited him, and then, you know, by virtue of benefiting him, benefited the team, if he had taken a week off last year, like around the bye, either before or after the bye, and give himself 2 weeks off for his body to heal, that he would have benefited by that.
Yeah.
He never did. And I got to give him props for toughness, for trying to stay out there and stick it out.
Okay.
God damn. It was constant. I mean, he was playing with four or five injuries. It was like, what the fuck?
Well, then I won't question it. I just
offensive linemen play hurt all the time. Okay, that's not uncommon.
Oh, big time.
But his were constant. It was like, you know, right knee and left ankle.
Mm-hmm.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, it was constant. Let me go over to defensive side of the ball here. Ian, the Steelers bring back Larry Ogunjobi.
Here we go.
I think we all agreed that if you could bring him back, bring him back. The question was at what price? How do you feel about what they did with him? 3 years and roughly about what, 28 million?
Yeah, it was 6
mil per year.
A little more than I thought they would spend on him. Mm-hmm. And
but not a lot.
Not a lot more.
Just a hair, right?
Just a hair. Yeah, yeah.
A little. Skosh.
I would actually say I was more surprised by 3 years. I thought it would be two. Just because of his injury history, like I thought, you know, 3 years kind of ties you to the player for at least 2 years.
What was the total guarantee?
It's
all about structure. You know that.
Right.
Yeah. But I thought it was 20, was it?
Yeah, there was a good bit of guarantees. But, I mean, he's still the guy's still in his 20s. He's under 30. So it's not a bad deal. It's just my concern with him is his injury history. That I thought may have made them hesitate a little bit on going to that third year, but they went there. And I mean, he was a good player. And I also think he's been around enough with enough different teams that when he's healthy, he's great. When he's healthy, he's awesome. But you also have to start thinking about the future of the position with Cam Hayward nearing retirement. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, maybe they saw this as a bit of a transition plan on the defensive line that, like, okay, Cam's under contract for two more years. So, or one more year? Two more.
One two more.
Two more. Yeah. Cam's under contract for two more years. Yeah. So, you know, if we sign Ogunjobi for three, then at least that third year we have somebody who's a veteran under contract to kind of bridge that gap a little bit. You know, you might start thinking about those kind of things too, that you want to kind of bridge the gap into the future. And the other thing, since we talked about leadership earlier in the show, you know, you saw the reactions from the rest of the team when he got re-signed. Like Cam Hayward was on social media. TJ Watt was on social media. Those guys were fired up.
All excited.
His teammates love him. And I think you can't discount.
Well, I don't know, man. I don't know if Mason Rudolph necessarily loves him.
Well, Mason Rudolph is no longer under contract because we are in the new league year now, Ben.
Yeah. So there's that. I'm just saying, you know,
the guys that play
Mason
with him
may not be a huge fan.
Skurps is turning up his women's college game that he's watching right now.
Arizona State, Nevada, relax.
It's only a 24-point game. But,
I mean, Arizona State's the better Arizona, so.
Oh, those are fighting words.
Fuck you. Yeah, so Ogunjobi's I can't find the guarantee, but he's going to make 21.75 in the first 2 years.
Okay, that's the number
so
I saw.
It's effectively a 2-year deal if he's making that much the first 2 years. Ian is correct. But he is still a young guy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's that.
I chatted with my son about some of these moves today, and he brought up the Tampa Bay game, which was one of his best games. Ogunjobi just literally
when he's healthy, know, the dude
when
is
he's healthy,
great.
The dude is money.
Yeah,
I agree, and he knows how to push down a backup quarterback down to the ground very easily.
Absolutely,
pretty impressive the way he does that. And, you know,
you
doesn't get
Tom
all pissed
Brady
off.
A backup quarterback.
It doesn't get all fucking angry when the quarterback in question calls him a bitch.
Is defensive line still a potential high priority in rounds 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah.
Could be.
I think it is.
Because Ogunjobi's 29 and Cam is how old?
34, 33.
34.
Gonna be 34 this year, I think. Yeah, he's gonna be 34 this season anyway. I think, you know, although you got some guys behind him, right? I
was disappointed in Loudermilk. I thought Loudermilk would be better.
Loudermilk was not. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. Softer milk.
The other thing I'll add too is right now, it seems like we have a lot of, I'll call them, we play a 3-4.
Yep.
Essentially, even though it's
we play
75% of the time we're in nickel, whatever. All right, we have a lot of defensive ends on this team. We don't have a lot of nose. We don't have a nose tackle at this point.
We don't. Right.
And I just published our Steel City Blitz defensive line draft preview, so you can go read that. But you know, I think we've got Cam, we've got Ogunjobi, we've got DeMarvin Leal, we've got Loudermilk, we've got guys who can play as the 5 techs, the 3 techs. We don't really have that true like 1 tech or even 0 tech kind of 2 gapping nose tackle.
That'd be nice.
That guy's only going to play maybe 15 to 20 snaps a game if you're lucky. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe you draft him in the third round.
I don't know, man. Come on. Vita Vea, he could.
Well, okay.
That guy could play zero. He could play one. He could play three.
One. Yeah, he's a one.
That but, dude yeah. was so big, he played zero to five by himself.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying he can play all those positions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he'd be money. So, granted, he'd also be like $16 million a year.
Yeah.
But,
well, I guess what I'm saying is I feel like there's guys in this draft who are good two gapping interior nose tackles that aren't real good pass rushers, but can defend against the run.
And they have to replace Tyson Alualu.
Yeah, and you can kind of plug him in as that guy in the middle on a you know, one as a one tech or a zero tech, and they can play the run and be effective. There's other guys in this draft, like I'll say Zach Pickens from South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
who could play as a one tech or a three tech on the interior, but he's much more of a quick first step, get up the field, play the run on the way to the quarterback kind of guy. And he's not real good in run defense, or not real good when he has to kind of anchor down and mm-hmm. you know, actually work through blocks. Like, if he can hit that gap and get forward, Zach Pickens is awesome. If he's got to like work through a double team or something like that, he doesn't have the lower body strength to do it. So, but there's other guys in this draft who do have that lower body strength that can do that. But I don't know if you pick them in the first three rounds. That's the thing, is like, for a guy that's only going to play 15 to 20 snaps a game, like, that feels like a third or fourth round pick to me, not necessarily mm-hmm. a first or second round pick.
But no, I think that's logical.
I am nitpicking your question, Mark.
And I even say you could burn a seven on a guy who is just going to be a two down player, as long as he can be that two down, two gap player. Mm-hmm. And looking at the depth chart right now, I've forgotten that they, not only did they lose, well, they're going to lose Alualu, who we all hope is going to retire.
I would expect his retirement very soon, but now that the year
Chris Wormley, who or has been underwhelming, Chris yeah. Wormley, who has been underwhelming for a little while, also had this significant knee injury.
Right.
And I wouldn't necessarily expect him to come back. They're going to have to draft to replace him as well, unless you think that Isaiah Loudermilk can play that role. And I don't know, man. I thought he took a step back last year. I agree with Mark.
He did. I was thinking, man, this guy arrows up on him coming into 2022, and there just wasn't much there. You know, kid works his tail off. I appreciate the effort. I just didn't see a lot of improvement.
He's also just not built like a defensive end. He's got short arms.
Yeah, and clearly they
he's a great big long giant guy, but he's got short arms. I don't get it.
Yeah, the other guy the Steelers re-signed this week was DeMonte KZ, and you know what was his deal? Anybody see the financials?
I haven't seen anything on that.
I haven't either. And Scarps, do you think this is the end of Terrell Edmonds?
I'll get back to that. But for Larry O, it might have been a little bit more money than I would have, you know, but whatever. It ain't my money. I don't give a shit. But I had said he was my biggest free agent retainee. Let's retain him a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago on the show. Mm-hmm. I don't care if he practices at all, as long as he shows up on game day, and he did that all year. And then getting back to with that KZ signing, I would almost guarantee that Terrell Edmonds is gone. And then, you know, like I said with Sutton, and essentially they gave Sutton an extension already, and then they gave Sutton or they gave Edmonds a 1-year deal last year. So I say draft, develop, and keep. And they essentially did that in a way, but I would expect Edmonds to be going somewhere else. And then we only actually really got to see KZ for what, six games?
Right.
Last
he had
year?
The broken arm.
So kind of wondering if they have just decided that their budget for defensive backs is this much.
Yeah.
And they've given the bulk of it to Minka.
Yep.
And they're just like, so we're going to have to spend money wisely at the other positions.
Yeah.
And just get younger.
Is KZ an Edmonds type player though? He strikes me more as a sit back and free safety?
He's not a free safety. No, he definitely plays free, similar to the way a lot of strong safeties play free. So,
but is he a up by the box type guy compared to
Edmonds? He doesn't play like a linebacker, which is the way Edmonds plays.
Right.
So I wouldn't say that they're similar that way, but he's not like Minka. Minka's a center fielder.
Well, yeah,
Minka
has more ball skills than Edmonds too.
Listen,
he does.
Don't you remember they were going to keep Terrell Edmonds and they were going to sign Tremaine Edmonds and it was going to be a family reunion?
Yes, that's right.
And J.J. Watt was going to come out of retirement to play that, with PJ. Yes.
Yeah. That's all still going to happen.
And
I saw J.J. Watt get a hole-in-one on a par 3 course, and right after he said, you know, I don't know if that counts as a hole-in-one, but I'm coming back and play for the Steelers. So, fucking hilarious.
Hey, Brett Kiesel, could I borrow that 99?
Exactly. Does safety remain a possibility in this draft? Or sure. I think they would give up drafting a safety to get a second corner, in my opinion.
They need corners worse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where the hell did Ryan go?
I don't know. We lost him. Yeah. Oh, there's our Casey Kasem fan just jumped. Oh, there he is. Let me see here.
Brian Branch.
I do like Brian Branch.
Brian Branch, a lot of teams have him at corner, and some teams have him at safety. So it just depends on who you talk to.
Right.
With regard to Branch. So I don't know what they're going to do with the guy. I think he wants to be a corner. That's my guess. He's telling teams he wants to be a corner.
Huh.
When that was the scouting report on Minka coming out too, was that he could play the sort of slot corner role or he could play free safety.
Which is what they did with him in Miami and he hated it.
Yeah.
He hated it.
Yeah.
And then he came to us and was a 3-time all pro in 4 years. So
there's that. Yeah. There's that. Okay. He's been pretty good.
Yeah. We mentioned Edmonds. You know, another name that's still floating out there as untapped yet is Zach Gentry. Not that I don't think you any of us
guys.
Who the hell? Nobody's even talking about this.
I don't think that Zach Gentry is that anybody is like rushing to sign him.
No.
I don't think the Steelers are real worried about that.
But considering how we don't really know what happened with Sutton in terms of did they get an opportunity, you know, is this part of that new regime where it's like, yeah, we really don't care what you do. If you want to go sign with somebody else, go sign with somebody else.
I don't think they're going to do that. I think that, I mean, especially a guy who worked with Kevin for a decade, his methodology is going to be similar. I don't know that it's going to be the same, but it's going to be similar. And, you know, my guess is that there was a kind of a conversation like Kevin would have with them before.
For sure.
What I'm wondering, just being very blunt, is whether or not Omar, as a new GM, carries the same kind of weight when he's talking to players. Like if they take it as seriously, is that even the right way to put it? If it resonates with them the same way when Kevin said, hey, you know, we'd like to keep you, but we're not sure what you're going to get. We want to give you an opportunity to test the market and see what your market is. And then we'd like to talk to you. So would you stay in touch with us? Does that coming out of Omar's mouth resonate the same way with players as it would have if Kevin Colbert
That's
said
a good
it.
Question.
You know?
Yeah.
You got a young GM who probably is a little unsure of himself. He doesn't present as well to the media as Kevin did. I'll just say it. He doesn't.
No, he doesn't. I would agree.
He doesn't. And so it makes me wonder what those conversations are like. And it's probably easier in the building, in your own environment, you know, in your office, in your comfort zone.
And Berner just nailed why I brought up Zach Gentry, because you've got the concussion issues with Muth. Hayward is not a true tight end. And this is a deep
Hayward's
tight end.
Hayward's a fucking H-back.
Yeah, exactly. He's not a tight end. You know, so deep tight end class. If Gentry does sign somewhere else, they gotta look tight end. I don't think they have a choice.
I would agree with that.
You know,
by the same token, I mean, you know,
in a perfect world, they trade down, get a few more picks, and be able to address a lot of these. But the Washington kid.
No, Georgia.
Yeah, isn't that him? Darnell.
Darnell. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, in a perfect world, that would be who they took with their 32nd pick.
I think he'll be there.
But if you invest that kind of a pick in a tight end,
right,
you're basically saying we're looking for this guy to be a starter. So now Freiermuth is going, well, what's going on?
So if
am I in the shit box?
If I mean this, I'm just saying this, but yeah, Muth is going into his third year. Mm-hmm. Connor Hayward will be going into his second year, and if Gentry's gone, I'm looking at the free agent market to get a veteran tight end. They've done this before. I'm gonna say a name, and you're probably like, I don't remember this guy, or maybe you do, but Leonard Pope. I remember
Big Leonard.
Michael Palmer.
Yeah,
was another vet.
He was a good blocker.
Veteran tight end that could block.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I'm saying. Like, we're
Thaddeus
not.
Moss. Yeah. Did he get drafted? Did he get taken like the seventh round or something?
I thought he was a rookie free agent.
We actually had him in for a visit recently.
We did, yeah.
Yep.
But yeah,
I think that Darnell Washington is going to start out at tight end, and watching him in blocking drills at the combine, I think he's eventually gonna be a left tackle.
Wow.
He's a good athlete.
Very good athlete.
He's got the dimensions to add the weight to his body to play tackle. Hmm. And that alone is why I would draft him. Being honest. Wow. That alone is why I would take the guy and I would take a chance on him.
Because
he's not a great receiver. He has a size mismatch with safeties and linebackers.
Yeah.
That's fine. But fuck, man, he's an extra offensive lineman. One, right out of the gate, he's an extra offensive lineman immediately. And two, he's a good athlete with gigantic dimensions and long fucking arms. Yep. You're like, dude, if you were just 35 pounds heavier, you'd be playing left tackle, making $20 million a year.
Yeah. Ian, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, wasn't there a kid who played tight end for Penn State that got drafted by the Seahawks that wound up playing left tackle or right tackle, Gilliam or something like that?
Gary Gilliam?
Yeah. I thought there was a kid who played tight end for Penn State.
I do not know.
In college that wound up playing tackle for the Seahawks.
Yeah, that one I don't know.
I don't know. Larry Brown for the Steelers.
Oh, yeah, Larry Brown.
In the 70s was drafted as a tight end.
Yeah.
And then moved to left tackle when, you know,
he got
big enough to play the position.
It was Gary Gilliam. He played tight end.
About that? Holy shit.
He played tight end up until his senior year at Penn State.
Gary Gilliam.
Yeah.
Sounds like a 70s rocker. Before we get to Casey Kasem, I have one more question.
Gary Glitter.
Gary, that's who I was thinking.
What a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
That guy should just be dropped in the fucking ocean and fed to sharks.
I'm going to feed into this just because I'm a dick.
Spit up my drink.
He should be.
Any chance bad, dude. Deontay Johnson gets traded?
Yeah.
There's
a chance.
Ian, why do you think so?
I mean, all right, look at what happened last year during the draft. We got to the second half of the first round, and all of a sudden you saw a bunch of receivers started getting traded for first-round picks. So A.J. Brown, you saw Marquise Brown. There's somebody else, too, wasn't
dude,
there?
If you can get a first-round pick for Marquise Brown, you should take that money. You should take it right away and be like, yes, hey, you can have him, bye!
Well, the Ravens did that, right? The Ravens
not worth a first-round pick.
Yeah.
And the fucking maybe.
The stupid-ass Cardinals traded the Ratbirds their first round pick for it.
That was awesome. So,
no, it wasn't because the Ravens got a first round pick.
Right.
But at any rate,
and they're about to get two more.
Yeah. So like, you know, you get to the second half of the first round, and some of the top receivers are off the board. Mm-hmm. Some team like I don't know, let's say the Giants, who just signed their quarterback to a big contract and right. don't really have a true number one wide receiver, start to get desperate, and they're around that, what are the Giants, like 23, 24 in the draft?
Yes.
And the Giants offer you like the 24th pick in the draft for Deontay Johnson, you got to seriously consider that move. So, I mean, I wouldn't think he would get traded before draft day, but mm-hmm. on draft day, you never know what's going to happen.
No, right. I agree. But draft day is always a crapshoot.
That's one of the, that's kind of when I think there's a possibility anyway
mm-hmm.
that on draft day or right before the draft that Lamar Jackson will get a deal and get moved along. You know, if you're the Ravens and you go past the draft and you're going to get these two first round picks, but you don't get them till next season.
Yeah,
it's a lot less appetizing now to let the guy walk.
I know we're going to get off the Steelers here in a minute, but I mean, what team is seriously still looking for Lamar Jackson? Because it seems like everybody's kind of addressing their quarterback issues right now.
I said last week the hilarious scenario was New England, but I still look at New England's situation right now, right? You've got Josh Allen, you've got Tua with Tua, but the receivers and the scheme in Miami are pretty good.
Yep.
That, you know, receivers can make up for a lot, especially the speedy receivers they have with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, and potentially Aaron Rodgers in the division. Yeah. I mean, you're not competing in that division with Mac Jones at quarterback. If you want to compete, it would go against everything Bill Belichick believes in. Mm-hmm. But Belichick has also
just signed Juju.
In the past with Emmanuel Sanders with us,
yeah,
he's offered guys a contract just to kind of make the other team sign him to a bigger deal. So I wouldn't be shocked to see New England take a run to make an offer at Lamar.
Well, and Belichick's at the end of his run anyway. Why the hell not? You know, I mean, Belichick's got nothing left to prove, as far as I'm concerned.
And let's remember, at his heart, Bill Belichick, being under the, you know, Bill Parcells coaching tree, he wants to run the ball and play defense. Like,
sure.
That's you know, and Lamar can do that, run the ball and play defense, kind of, mm-hmm. well, not play defense, but he can run the ball. I know what you mean. You know?
Yeah. No, I get it. Mr. Scarpino, has Casey Kasem entered the building?
He's coming.
He's on his way. We hear that his casket is now being pushed in as we speak. It's actually caught in a tug of war between his widow and his kids. But he will be able to step aside, let them fight it out, and he'll be able to give us our weekly top four.
Casey's coast to coast, American top 40. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the week that was March 15th, 1985. Ryan from Pittsburgh writes, Dear Casey, let me sleep on it, baby, baby, let me sleep on it. Let me sleep on it. I'll give you an answer when I get back from my darkness retreat.
Oh, this is good.
But I won't tell you right away. I'll string you along because I am better than you and I'm smarter than you. And just when you thought I couldn't be any more annoying, I string you along some more. Casey, of course, I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers, who right now is not quite a Green Bay Packer and also not quite a New York Jet. He's like the kid neither parent wants in a divorce. However, Rodgers did say today that he has decided that he wants to be a Jet. It's only a matter of time before the two teams exchange terms. Imagine telling everyone you're going on a darkness retreat, and when you awake, you tell everyone your epiphany was to become the quarterback of the New York Jets. Are we sure this vision didn't come to Rodgers as he was being chased by Brett Favre in the Peruvian jungles after taking enough ayahuasca to kill an elephant? I digress. Let's talk about free agency. You know, Casey, I've been saying for years that the Steelers have been stuck in the 1970s, But with the signing of Patrick Peterson earlier this week, I could safely say the Steelers progressed to at least 2015, which is the last time Peterson was any good. Wow. Casey, I'm only half joking. Peterson is still a solid player despite him being 137 years old. Why draft, develop, and keep young players like Cam Sutton and Terrell Edmunds when you could sign a guy that was likely not going to be employed until training camp? Forward thinking by the Steelers, I must say. Free agency overall is just another reminder of how cruel this business can be. Thanks for pouring your blood, sweat, and tears into our organization. Thanks for putting your body and brain on the line for us. It's not like you're going to need those body parts later in life. Again, thank you so much. Now hand over your key fob and tablet and get out. Don't come around here no more. Well, Ryan, I see where you're going, but you do know this is American Top 40, right? This song just entered the charts. Well, I still appreciate you writing to me every week, so I'm going to let it slide. Making its debut on the Billboard Top 100, and this song will eventually make it all the way up to number 13. Here's Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers at number 64 off their album Southern Accents with Don't Come Around Here No More.
Very nice.
Well done.
Very nice.
The darkness retreat, man. I'm telling you. How do you go in 90% sure you're going to retire, then you come out and, like you said, well, I want to be the quarterback of the New York Jets.
Yeah, I was about to throw out a Flash Gordon, Ming the Merciless reference.
Oh, beautiful.
But I was like, nah, I can't cut Casey off.
That's right. Sam was the quarterback of the Jets, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was.
Flash.
Flash
Gordon.
Well, right.
Flash.
Oh, that's funny as shit. Oh, my God.
I can't wait till Joe Namath tells Aaron Rodgers, I want to kiss you.
You try and get Susie Colbert jealous.
That was awesome. Yeah, that was fantastic.
Give me a little kiss, Susie.
Infamous moment.
Apparently, Namath already told Rodgers he could wear number 12.
Oh,
so wow. There's that, right?
Come on, Joe. How many more years of life left do you have? Stick with it, babe. Tell Rodgers to pick a different number.
Anyway, we'll wrap things up here. We'll be back at some point next week. I don't know when, but we'll be back next week. Who knows? The Steelers could still be making wheeling and dealing and all that stuff. But anyway, for these guys, this is Steel Dad, and make sure you check out the website, steelcityblitz.com, on Facebook, on Twitter, in numerous locations. And Instagram and all that good stuff too. So thank you for everybody for jumping on tonight. We always appreciate the interaction, and thank you for listening or watching later on if that's what you'd like to do too. So that is it for me, and as always, go Steelers.
Ravens suck. And Ryan has a point he wants to make.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ryan.
Darius Slay just tweeted he's back with the Eagles, so they must have cut him and then re-signed.
So. Okay. All right. Well, as the kids say these days, he slay.
Shut the fuck up.
Wow. Oh,
God.
Wow.
That was, dare I say,
that was awful.
Cringe.
Yeah, that was
cringe-worthy.
That was good. Cringe.
That's what I shoot for every day in the classroom. God. Anyway, let's try this again.
Really?
Go Steelers.
Ravens suck.
Beautiful. Thanks, everybody.
You gotta be shitting me.